So today we're going to be, or this afternoon we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to look at. Before we get into that, kind of the topic of what's been going on in these last few verses or this last chapter or two is we're talking about preparation. And one of the times I recall as a child, and I, you know, with this for a few people here, I hope it'll be all right I share this, is there was a time I remember in third grade that we had this giant science project that we had to do. And it's every mother's worst dream or worst nightmare to hear these words from a child. Mother, I'm not ready for the project. I need some help. And she goes, oh, okay, when's it due? Well, Mom, of course it's due tomorrow. So, of course, I put off this project. I had not done any of the preparation work in terms of the presentation. So my mother, unfortunately, I hope she forgets it or has forgotten it. But she was beside herself. She didn't know what to do. She helped me build up a bulletin board, but after that, there was not much to work with. The point of the matter is I'd done all the studying. I did all the research that I needed for this science project, but I hadn't fully prepared for the real test. Of course, when it came to the grade that the teacher gave me, it was obviously probably the worst grade I've ever received on anything. And of course, it wasn't a passing grade either, because I hadn't done the work. Our salvation is quite similar. We can learn all the things we want about God's word. We can have that biblical knowledge in our head about who this person was, how long they lived, or what they did. But if we don't make the application and bring the presentation out, it means nothing. We haven't done our part. Yes, we need the knowledge. We have to have the knowledge, just like I did with that science project. If I didn't have the knowledge, I couldn't have presented it. But you also need to have the other. You need to have a show of what you did. And if we do not, the end result is a failing grade. In terms of salvation, that failing grade is none other than torment, torture, hell. Not a pleasant sight. Definitely a different scale level than a D plus that I got in that class, but still, it is applicable. So let's take our look here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be doing the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, we can find this here in verse, starting in verse 1, but we're going to see a very similar phrasing that we see in most of the parables that we see. As we're seeing something is getting compared to the kingdom of heaven. Let's read that, if we will. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So what we see is we have these 10 virgins. They are compared to the kingdom of heaven. But as we know, that those 10 virgins represent Christians. Those that have obeyed the commandments, those that have been baptized, those that have followed the five steps of salvation. But here we have two different groups, as we're going to find out. And we're going to see what happens to those who have prepared, but have not fully committed. So continuing on in verse 2, it says, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. We see that, again, we see that among the brides of Christ now. We have some that do not want to do the work, they do not want to apply themselves, they do not want to show up, and they do not want to learn more. They've obeyed the gospel, they've obeyed everything they're supposed to, but they're doing things half-heartedly. They've only done half of the preparation. And we're going to see what happens to those. Verse 3, it says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had their lamps ready, just that lamp was not full of what it needed to sustain itself. Now, a little history here is, if we didn't know, I think we've already covered this a little bit, is they didn't have electricity back then. How they got to see outside at nighttime was the lamp. So if they wanted to walk around outside at night, they had to have this lamp. But these foolish ones did not. Verse 4 here, we see that the wise ones, but the wise took oil in their vessels and in their lamps. They were prepared. The wise were fully prepared for a journey at night. Verse 5, we're going to continue. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, one of the things we're going to point out here is with verse 5, there's nothing wrong with the fact that they slept. And sometimes we look at things, oh, they slumbered or so forth, and it's usually referring to something bad. But in this case, each set of the people, each of the virgins, they were comfortable with what they had prepared. They were all prepared, ready for the bride to come or bridegroom to come. They were comfortable with how they were, and they fell asleep. And we see that with Christians. Each and every night you go to bed, you're ready. You think it's okay. But had you done the day's work, that would have made Christ happy. Some of us think that we have, when really our lamp is empty. Something to think about. But as we saw this morning with our study, that the bridegroom, or Christ, he's going to come at any time. We don't know when he's coming. Could be right now. Could be 5 minutes from now. We have to always be prepared. It isn't enough, as we're going to see with this parable, to just have a lantern, to just be the proper virgin or so, to be a bride of Christ. There has to be more to it. In verse 6, it says, And at midnight was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet them. Midnight, it was dark out. They had no clue when he was coming back, and he'd done it while they were sleeping. And we see what's going to happen here. We have the five that are prepared and five are not. As we said, we have two different types of people here. Ones that are ready to sustain themselves, ones that were not. And keep in mind that these people here, those 10 total virgins, represent all of Christ's children, our brethren, our sisters. This isn't worldly people out there. This is people who have taken the plunge, and they're ready. Let's look at verses 7 and 9 here, 7 through 9. It says, Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, or our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, No, not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So again, we have the foolish. They know it's the time. And they're finally at the last minute, Oh no, I should have prepared. Please help me out. But the wise understand that they have to have their lamp full, or else they would not be able to meet the bridegroom. The foolish are told to go out and purchase more. Now the idea here is they've all had ample time, plenty of time to fill up their lamps. But the five foolish ones were not prepared. They chose not to be ready. Let's continue on. Verse 10 through 12. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. We need to be ready for Christ. When he comes back, that's that. There is no, oh, gotta go hurry up and fix everything else now. There will be no time for repentance when he's come back. There will be no time to change our behaviors that are unaligned with Christ. We have to do it today, not tomorrow. We've seen that the wise ones were the ones that were able to come into the door, and the foolish were left outside banging on the door, but he says, I do not know you. And we see that. We see that we can go up against some of the false teachings in the world around us, that they believe that once they become baptized, that's it. They're good. But we see that these who had been baptized but didn't fill their vessel, that was it. He knew them not. We've seen this over and over again throughout the scriptures, and yet people do not understand it. That we have to live each day, each moment, as if Christ was coming back. We need to live exactly how Christ expects us. Otherwise, again, he will not allow us into heaven. It doesn't get much clearer than that. But people still don't see it because they don't want to see it. I hope everyone here sees that. There are several applicable lessons we can pull from this little parable. We can see that there are many who will know the truth. We saw 10 in this case, but there's going to be many people that follow God's scriptures, follow God's plan. But they won't be fully prepared. Not all of them will be ready for when Christ comes back. They're ready to take those five first easy steps of listening to God's word and all the way up to the baptism. But when it comes to time for the real test of being a Christian, they're not ready. We see that in this little parable. Not all will remain vigilant. Not all remain faithful. Let's take a look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. We're going to see some very similar phrasing here that we've been accustomed to in these last few parables, or this last few chapters. It says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." We see that Christ is going to come back in a time when we do not know. It's going to be a time when we least expect it. We don't have time or room to put Christ on the back burner, because that's when he's going to come back. We had discussed that a little bit this morning. Let's continue on, and we see that book 1 of Thessalonians, that's where we're going to be next. Book 1 of Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 5. We're going to see the similar wording here as well. Verses 2 through 8. It says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." He said this over and over again in so many different books. You think it might be important, right? "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Notice here, it says sudden destruction. We're not going to have a warning. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation." We are Christians. The things and actions that we do need not to be hidden. We should be shining a light to all to be able to see. Those things that we feel that we need to hide from others, those are those things that we say we put off. Those are the things of the old man. We've become new people. We are to walk in light so that others can see Christ through us. Allow it to be so. Do not go back to the old ways. Do not fall into these habits of doing things that need to be hidden. We see the same warning here in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Remember reading verses 35 through 37. At the end of the chapter, it says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you all, watch. Christ has said it over and over again. The Bible's been written over and over again here that we see in each different section here, and there's many more, where Christ is saying, I'm coming back as a thief in the night. We're not going to expect him. We need to always be vigilant and be ready for him to come back. One of the thoughts that I've kind of kept in my mind, myself personally, is when I'm doing something, what if Christ was sitting right here next to me? Would he approve of this? Would he be acceptable of this? Would he let this slide? The answer usually, if it's no, is then I don't need it. We were just discussing a little bit of what's the difference between a 20-year-old and a 21-year-old. There's nothing different. We need to have in our minds, if it's not good enough for Christ, then it's not good enough for us. Another lesson brought up from this parable is the fact that no other person on earth will get you to heaven. You've seen the five foolish virgins were coming to the wise. They're saying, help us, help us. We need help. We want to come into the wedding as well. But they said they couldn't. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you're part of a congregation where everybody in the congregation is righteous and you're the one person that's not. You'll be the one person that doesn't go to heaven. Or I could be the one person that doesn't go to heaven. Don't want to put you on everybody. The fact of the matter is you cannot ride on the coattails of anybody else. You yourself are going to have to answer for everything you've done, not the congregation. Another thing to point out is if you have righteous parents, it doesn't automatically give you a one-way ticket to heaven. Thirdly, if you have righteous children, that doesn't get you to heaven. We have to do it our own. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. We look at verse 16. One of the things when dealing with people of the world and people that really haven't studied the Bible, one of the things that they like to bring up is, well, because of my crimes or my sins that I've done, my son has to pay for them. Or I'm sure you've heard the same thing, well, your parents were this horrible person, so you're going to have to suffer for it. Let's look at what God says. 24, verse 16. It says, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Any wrongdoings we do against God, we answer for. They don't get passed on. We don't owe any sin because of what Adam did. We don't owe anything for what Eve did. I have to answer to God for what I've done. Likewise, you have to do the same. Remember, we cannot ride off the coattails of others. A personal example here is neither of my parents themselves have been religious when I was growing up. Unfortunately, both of them will probably end up in hell. It's not a very comforting thought. But simply because I'm here and I'm trying to straighten out my life compared to what they did, doesn't mean that they're allowed to come to heaven. And likewise, I'm not going to go straight to hell because they did not teach me right. It's on me to study and make sure what God wants from me. It's not on them. It's on me. It is their job as a parent, of course, to teach. So don't get me wrong there. But in the end, it's on me. Likewise, it's my same role as a parent to teach my child. But at the same time, eventually, he's going to have to answer for himself. We have to make our own choices. He cannot write off of my coattails, nor can I write off the coattails of my parents. So the five foolish virgins, again, they were trying to ride on the coattails of the wise virgins, attempting to borrow some of their oil. But the wise, again, said, no, you're not allowed to. I need all this. And they did. Sad reality of it, it brings about another point about this parable that many will end up showing on the judgment day with an empty lantern. See, in this parable, you only seen half of them, but this is a representation of the whole thing. This reminds me of Matthew chapter 22. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. We studied this not too long ago, actually. For many are called, but few are chosen. There's going to be many that are called upon, many that are answering the calling, but only a few that will choose to fill up their lantern with oil. It's a scary, scary thought that not all of us are safe here because we need to work. We need to be busy. Again, all the 10 virgins were called upon. All 10 of them had a lantern. All 10 of them had time to fill that lantern. But only the wise responded. Only the wise were the ones that were able to enter into the marriage. The more often I share in Bible studies, the more I see this and I look at people and I help them and I help them to see this, it kind of scares me. You know, we look at Matthew 7, we've seen this several times. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, here says, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there go within, go without. But because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be find it. It's frightening that they don't understand fully what it means that, yes, some are going to be called, but many will not enter into heaven. It's a scary thought for all of us. And we really need to be out there. We need to be teaching. Being a Christian is more than a title. I've seen this before, and a lot of people, if you're talking to them in the world, is, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. What, do you go to church? Nah, I don't go to church. Don't have time for it. I'm too busy. Then you're not a Christian. Being a Christian is not a title. I'm a king. No, it's not. It's something we do. Something, it's a way of life. It's not just a one-time thing. And you see that in these virgins here. Final lesson, which ties all these lessons together, is that the coming of Christ will catch many of them unaware. Unprepared is the topic of what we've been talking about, is being prepared for things. But Christ coming back is going to catch a lot of people unprepared. That could be you, that could be me, could be any of us. It could be just that one day that we decide we're going to break that one rule. And it could tear us down. Let's go to Matthew 24. We saw this last week. Matthew 24, 48 through 49. Or I guess we saw this earlier, sorry. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and But and if that evil shall say on his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkenness. Many are going to say, now it's not the time, Christ isn't come back. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to have some fun. And get drunk, start beating people up, whatever it may be. To us, it doesn't even have to be that severe. It could be just, well, I'm going to start slipping up and cussing today because Christ ain't came back. But that's when he's going to catch us, as we saw this morning. And what we saw here is that they didn't have their oil in their lamps. I want us to turn to 2 Peter. Now, we've been doing a lot in Peter, but this passage really fits this lesson. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll be starting in verse 3. I'll run first. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 3, and we're reading up till 15. It says, knowing the first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens of the old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved with manner of persons, ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, where dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother, Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, which is written unto you. And it continues on. There's going to be people that say, well, just like Noah's time that we read this morning. Oh, Christ hasn't come back. He's not going to come back. He hasn't come back in so many years. You ain't got to worry about it. But we're not to be slack. We're to be vigilant. We're to be ever mindful that today, this moment, could be the moment. We are to be without spot, blameless. And we can't do that unless we're living for Christ. We aren't to count that today he hasn't come back as a moment of, oh, good, I get a break today. Thankful to God that he's given us another day. Thankful God for having patience with me. Thankful God for having patience with those that we haven't reached yet. Thankful God for all these things. I hope some that maybe be mindful of that in your own prayers. Thankful God for another day. It's not an excuse to take a day off. As I said, today's lesson wouldn't be too horribly long. Would keep it a little shorter today. But we must remain vigilant. We must be the brides of Christ. We must be like the 5 wise people, keeping the oil filled in our lanterns. If there's any here that heard God's word, heard it, or you're reading it, that's the only way we gain our faith. If there's any that need to respond today for that, responding to the fact that they know that God's word is the truth, and that we must change our lives, we must, even as Christians, continue with that struggle every single day, as this parable showed us. If you've made a decision to become the bride of Christ, or maybe you're a brethren that your lamp's kind of empty, now's the time to fill it before it's too late. If there's any need to respond, please stand, come forward as we stand and sing this next song.
One calls we live in.